Good morning, Green Bay Packer fans, and welcome to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Railbird Central is on every Tuesday and Friday, except during the bye week. And we are getting ready for a big Green Bay Packers game this Sunday against the NFC North rival Minnesota Vikings, meeting Mr. Favre for what everybody's assuming to be the last time. Please be advised, nobody is moderating our live blog today. It's being moderated exclusively by Twitter. Please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV and your comments will get through. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back. As you can see, I'm wearing my blaze orange today in honor of the opening of gun, deer, rifle season in Wisconsin tomorrow morning at daybreak, sunrise, whenever that is. Break of dawn early in the morning. I know there's a lot of transplants, if you will, watching the show from out of state. If you are from out of state, it might be hard to appreciate how much hunting is a part of the culture here in Wisconsin. And it's actually tied to the Green Bay Packers. I'm sure everybody's seen, you know, games at this time of year during the cold, seeing lots of blaze orange at Lambeau Field in the stands, just people wearing warm clothing, and a lot of the warm clothing people own here in Wisconsin has blaze orange on it. I always thought, actually, that it might be cool that the Packers would, for a alternate jersey some year, go blaze orange in honor of the hunting culture around here. Just one game, not looking for anything crazy, wacky, just one game as a nod to the hunters that support them. I think it'd be cool. I'm probably in the minority there. But the Packers will be wearing their throwback jerseys in just a few weeks when they face the San Francisco 49ers in early December at Lambeau Field. I actually have memories of deer hunting, listening to the Packers from my deer stand in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, middle of nowhere, in the middle of a swamp, in Marinette County, near my hometown of Crivitz, where I hunt every year, and will be heading this afternoon up there to hunt tomorrow morning. It pains me. I'm probably only going to hunt opening day this year. Wish I could hunt more, but my Packers coverage will be shortening that. But anyway, no, I really, there's so many hunters out there that listen to the Packers from their deer stands. You wouldn't believe how many people bring just a little handset radio with them out in the woods to listen to the Packers while they hunt. I'm one of them. Pretty much my whole family joins that idea. We all do it. A lot of friends I know do it. And yeah, it really is interesting. And you know, the deer season extends 9 days here in Wisconsin from this Saturday through the following weekend, and which includes Thanksgiving Day. And it's always a big tradition to watch the Packers when they play the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. That's always fun as well. A lot of hunters out in the woods that day because everybody has off of work. So anyway, that's just a little recap on hunting here in Wisconsin, and it's tied to the Green Bay Packers. And John Rahorse says in a live blog that Lori Nichol had a great story last winter about the start of deer hunting season. I'd like to read that. I don't think I ever saw that last year. Later this morning at 8:30, we'll be joined by Adam Check, Associated Press writer and Packers blogger. He lives in Minnesota, and we'll be talking with him about the upcoming game this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. And let's get right into it. If you're following along today, look at the top of the live blog. I provide a link to today's Packers Daily Links. As you can see, the top story is about rookie Sam Shields. Not playing cornerback, which is where he gets most of his time. About Sam Shields in the return game. Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette asked special teams coordinator Sean Slocum about Sam Shields in the return game. And I want to share with you, pardon me, this quote from Mr. Domofsky. If you click the link, it takes you to the article here at the Green Bay Press Gazette. But I just want to share with you this quick bit from Mr. Domofsky's article. He writes, quote, Shields has only that lone return against the Cowboys on his NFL resume, but it was enough to convince McCarthy and Slocum to give him the job full time. Slocum on Thursday said he wouldn't rule out the possibility Shields could go back to returning punts, a far more dangerous job considering he would have to catch the ball in heavy traffic, unlike on kickoff returns where the defenders are far away. And of course, that's the first topic I want to talk about. Ask everyone. Feel free on the live blog. Leave your comments. What do you think about Sam Shields in the return game? Both kick returns and punt returns. I've probably said this many times by now, but it bears repeating. I have no problem with Sam Shields on kick returns. I'm glad they waited this long in the year to use him. Of course, everybody remembers the backstory. This preseason, they experimented with Sam Shields in returns during the preseason. Fumbles, muffs, drops, you name it. It was part of Sam Shields' repertoire in the August time frame. And I didn't think it was a good idea to use Sam Shields in any sort of return situation at all, whether it be kicks or punts. So I'm glad they waited this long. You know, let him get his feet wet. Let him get the jitters out of him. You know, learn at cornerback. Learn that first on defense, which he has been fantastic at doing. Just doing an amazing job at cornerback. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about returns. And as a kick returner, fine, let him. He showed against the Cowboys what he is capable of. I think he had a 48-yard return from rather deep in the end zone, too. I mean, so that's pretty impressive. And, you know, there's nothing really that's going to hurt you badly on a kick return. The defenders are not right up in your face on a kick return. They're coming from the opponent's, 35-yard line? And it takes a while for them to reach you. So even if Sam Shields happens to drop a kickoff, he has plenty of time to recover. And who knows, if he recovers quickly, that's hardly even a mistake, you know, if he can recover quickly. I mean, that's a lot to be asking. But, I mean, you can still get out to the 15, 20-yard line and not be in too bad a shape. Ideally, you want to be out past the 20. But whatever, it's not a huge deal. Now, on punts, of course, punts don't travel as far as kickoffs. The punter doesn't have quite the run-up that a kicker is afforded or a rush in his face. And punts, though, are known to be, can at least, go higher than a kickoff from a punter with good hang time. And they're not end over end. I wish I had a ball to demonstrate this with, but a kickoff basically, 99% of the time, travels end over end. If you've ever fielded a kickoff before, I have in high school, and again, I can't stress enough, I'm not trying to glorify my high school career, but I know what it's like at least to field a kickoff. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you do it at. I mean, to just know the spin of the ball, you could do it at the Pop Warner level. They're much easier to catch than a punt. A punt can spiral, and it's really high, and it's hard to judge. But that's not even the hardest part. I mean, that alone is hard. Everybody sees, you know, at halftime at Lambeau Field, there's frequently, if not every game, maybe not playoff games, but during the regular season, there's frequently a little contest, you know, some sort of, you know, catch a punt from the jugs machine, and just some random Joe from the stands is out there, and, you know, only 50% of the time do they actually catch the ball. I mean, so you see how hard it is. But I mean, now, not only do you have to deal with a spiral that can move and it's high up in the air and you have to judge where it's going to land, now, put some people in your face that really want to hurt you, that want to judge and time that when the ball arrives with the shoulder they're going to put into you to jar that ball loose. It's not easy. So, returning punts is really hard, and I do not advocate Sam Shields returning punts, especially in a close game. Especially in a close game. Now, if the Packers are up by 3 scores or more, by all means, get Sam Shields some practice, you know, in the fourth quarter. By all means, let him return some punts, see what he can do without any pressure. That would be fine. But to put him back there, the first return of the game would be a mistake. Putting him back there and possibly fumbling the ball away, muffing it, and the other team recovering it against the division rival Minnesota Vikings, that would be a mistake. Can't let that happen. And I don't think the Packers will let that happen. But I'm just reiterating it, because I think it deserves to be reiterated. No, I can't put Sam Shields on punt returns. And here, as John Rahor points out on the live blog, you know, it's going to be cold too, and that's going to make it even harder. I mean, it won't be this Sunday in a dome in the Metrodome, the Humpty Dome. Humpty Dump in Minnesota, but it will be, you know, at Lambeau Field going forward. A lot of people are scared about Tremon Williams returning punts because he's one of the best players on the team and they don't want to risk injury. You know, if there was anybody else on the team that could catch punts cleanly and was not a star player, I'd be in favor of it. But Tremon Williams really has been, for the most part, a smart player. Has he had some mistakes? Sure. But he's not afraid to fair catch, because he'll catch it, and that's fine. If he's got room, by all means, have a return. Go after it. but he doesn't really seem to take too many chances. And he'll catch it, and he'll hang on to the ball and do the right thing. So I'm fine with Tremont Williams back there. He can do that all season long as he hangs on to the ball. Suppose you could argue putting Jordy Nelson back there. He doesn't start, or at least wouldn't with Donald Driver in the lineup. But he plays a valuable role on the Green Bay Packers too. He plays a lot on offense. Of course, he's had his own fumbling problems, particularly on kickoffs, but you know, it hasn't been the catching part of the ball that's plagued Jordy Nelson. It's been the returns and the tackling when it's been jarred loose. But I want to know what you want to think. Feel free. Call into the show this morning. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Once again, 646-797-2909. Feel free. Call into the show. Let me know what you think. Or leave your comments on the live blog, as many of you have been doing. Those of you who joined us late, just be advised, nobody is approving comments this morning. We're being moderated entirely by Twitter. Please tweet with the hashtags RealBird or CheeseheadTV. While I'm waiting for any comments, calls to roll in here, we'll go back to the Packers Daily Links. Second story down today. Ryan Pickett. Defensive lineman Ryan Pickett. An article by Jason Wilde of the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Madison.com franchise. If you click the link here where it says practice report, it'll take you to the link over at ESPNMilwaukee.com. And what Mr. Wilde has to say about Ryan Pickett and his status for this Sunday's game. He writes, quote, Ryan Pickett may have been officially listed as limited in Wednesday's practice on the Green Bay Packers injury report, but the veteran defensive end did everything during practice and is confident he'll be able to play Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings and running back Adrian Peterson, who gashed the Packers for 131 yards in the team's first meeting. It sure would be nice to have the services of Ryan Pickett this weekend as the Packers prepare to face Adrian Peterson, who, as everyone knows, is one of the best running backs in the NFL. And just providing depth along the defensive line. Ryan Pickett could really be used to gobble up some blockers for the guys like Desmond Bishop and A.J. Hawk to make plays. But I believe it was the last Vikings game, 3 games ago, at Lambeau Field the first time around, where Ryan Pickett did play. Coming off, I believe it was the Washington Redskins game where he first got hurt. Took a little bit of time off, came back for the Vikings game, played a couple plays, and had a setback. Now, the Packers can't afford that to happen again. You know, he's been out since that time. And it, you know, Ryan Pickett has had the bye week to rest and recover. But, you know, they can't afford for him to injure that ankle again. He's got to be healthy. You don't want him to have another setback, because then he's going to be gone for a month. If I'm the Packers, Ryan Pickett might not play this weekend. As much as as much as I want him, all of you want him, Packer Nation wants him to play, the smart thing to do, maybe to sit Ryan Pickett, let him get one more week, and get ready for the stretch run of the season. Next weekend's a big weekend too. Going to Atlanta, one of the best records in the NFC. One of the teams that, if the Packers win this weekend, will be fighting for, you know, home field advantage in the playoffs against. I mean, so this, you know, this weekend isn't the be-all, end-all. I mean, by all means, this weekend's game against the Minnesota Vikings is important. But Ryan Pickett is needed later as well. Now, if Ryan Pickett shows he's healthy and he practiced yesterday pretty much full go, he's listed as limited, but from the practice reports I've seen from the Packers beat reporters, Ryan Pickett pretty much took part in the whole practice. You know, he might have been a little more limited on Wednesday, when he was just probably took part in the jog through only, but Thursday he pretty much did everything. You know, Mike McCarthy didn't really have all the answers at yesterday's press conference, how he felt, but, you know, acknowledged that Ryan Pickett really did practice a lot, took part in a lot. And that's a good sign. Today will be a better indicator of Ryan Pickett's status. You know, if all of a sudden Ryan Pickett regresses today, you know, really just only takes part in the jog through or doesn't take part at all, then you might have some problems. Then he probably definitely won't play. But if he's full go again, and he shows he's healthy, I mean, maybe by now he's okay. After the bye week, a little extra time, little R&R, and he's fine. Okay, let him go. And that would help the Packers, by all means. Illinois Pack fan tweets on our live blog that Pickett, Green, and Raji will be a heck of a front against the run. And they will. I mean, that's, you know, once all these guys are fully healthy, you know, that's great. And that's not even including Cullen Jenkins, who's good in his own right. Now, I understand that Pickett, Green, and Raji are, you know, more known for their run stuffing than anything. But, you know, Cullen Jenkins can hold his own in the run game as well. And that's a heck of a rotation. And now, add C.J. Wilson to that as well. You know, that's a five-man rotation. I can't imagine Jarius Wynn's going to be active this weekend to keep six defensive linemen active on a game day. I don't see that happening. That's pretty rare in a 3-4 defense that typically doesn't use three defensive linemen all that often. But, you know, Pickett, Green, Raji, Jenkins, and Wilson, that's a good rotation. Everybody can be kept fresh. And we're going to take a phone call here on Cheesehead TV. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
This is Abraham.
Hi, Abraham. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. Got a little bit of a headache, but overall pretty good.
Was it Thirsty Thursday for you last night?
No, I don't even know really what it was. I don't know. I just kind of was doing some catching up on the internet last night, and 11:30, just kind of got a big throbbing thing, and... I don't know.
Anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, I guess I wanted to make two comments. First, about the Sam Shields thing. I mean, McCarthy has kind of really emphasized in his preferences lately how the turnover battle has really kind of changed in favor of the Packers recently, and that's been a big part of how come we started playing much better football. So I have to believe that either A, he has got way too much trust in Slocum, or there's no way that he's going to risk Sam Shields potentially turning the ball over against Minnesota, especially against Minnesota. So I kind of trust McCarthy there a little bit, perhaps a little bit too much. But Sam Shields definitely has talent. I know you're a big Badger fan, so I just remember, you always hear the true or not that the Big Ten has just got a bunch of slow players, and then, you know, all the Southern teams are a bunch of, you know, quick, really quick guys that they just can't keep up with. And I just remember that opening kickoff where they lateraled it to him and he ran it, and he would have had a touchdown.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember that well.
Yeah. And so it ended up turning out for the better, but I don't know. I don't think anybody wasn't nervous after that first play. But so he definitely has talent. I mean, he returned it, I think, to about the 40 against the Cowboys, which is, you know, obviously a very good return. So I don't know. I guess I trust the coaching staff to make the right call and that they're not going to make it too risky, but I mean, you never know. The Vikings are also going to know that Sam Shields has had problems catching it. So, you know they're going to be, you know, making every attempt to try to strip the ball from him too. So I don't know.
You make a good point that McCarthy is, you know, really talked about the turnovers and how it's helped the team, and, you know, that turnover ratio is getting better by the week, you know, not turning the ball over, but at the same time the defense is creating turnovers, and certainly can't afford anything on the special teams area. I mean, that's really why they got rid of Jordy Nelson on kick returns, so because he can't hang on to the ball.
And I guess chiming in on the Ryan Pickett thing, I know I've had some ankle problems of my own, and they always say that it takes like a month for your ankle to like fully really get that explosion back. You might be able to do stuff on it, maybe earlier, but I mean, as soon as it, you know, they did the quote of 2 to 4 weeks, it's like, that's going to be 4 weeks, just because especially it doesn't help that, you know, he's 300 plus pounds either, which just kind of makes it all look worse. So, I don't know. I think we've done all right against the run lately, and obviously going up against Adrian Peterson, he's probably the best running back in football. You know, that's going to definitely be a big thing to watch. But we've got a lot of top-shelf running backs coming up, too. I mean, especially running-dependent team. You know, Atlanta definitely focuses a lot on the run, the Giants, the 49ers. So, you know, you don't want Ryan Pickett to potentially re-injure himself and push that timetable back a little bit when we've got all these teams coming up that, you know, rely on the run a ton, and you're going to need Ryan Pickett, you know, to effectively stop all those other teams.
Yes, absolutely right. Abraham, thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to have to take a break here very shortly, but I'll address the Ryan Pickett situation as well. Take care. Take some Advil.
All right.
Yeah. See ya. Abraham joining us this morning on Railbird Central. Yeah, Ryan Pickett is going to be needed down the stretch. He's going to be needed exactly as he said in the Falcons game, the Giants game, 49ers game, you know, every game, you know. And yeah, anybody who's had a sprained ankle before, whether you play football or not, I mean, sprained ankles are common just playing pickup basketball. I'm sure a lot of people in our audience have had one as well. I mean, it really does. It takes a month to almost fully recover. You know, can you move around? Absolutely, within 2 weeks. But, you know, it takes time to get that fully back. And especially when you are 340-plus pounds and you're going up against offensive linemen who are over 300 pounds. I mean, that's tough to anchor against on that ankle. Were you going to have to gobble up some blockers? Clearing the path for your linebackers. It's not easy. If I'm the Packers, I err on the side of caution. I mean, I'm not there. I'm not a coach. I'm not a trainer. I'm not seeing what Ryan Pickett is doing. And maybe he is recovered by now. Maybe... You know, his setback was minor and it was more of a preventative thing than anything. I don't know. But, you know, I hold him out if he's not fully ready to go. It's 8:30. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to have Adam check. Welcome back to Railbird Central. Joining us right now on the line is Adam check, Associated Press writer and Packers blogger. How are you this morning, Adam?
Doing well.
Very good. Give me a little bit of background about yourself, Adam. I know you're most well-known writing is with the Associated Press, or the most widely distributed, but you've also done a little bit of Packers blogging as well. You live in the Twin Cities, or the Minnesota at least, and you've done some Packers blogging, I know, on Packer Chatters. I've seen an article or two on Jersey Al's blog. I mean, where are you writing now? And just tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell Packer Nation about yourself.
Sure. Well, I went to school and got my degree in journalism and graduated. I worked at a couple of papers in smaller towns here in Minnesota and loved the journalism field, but unfortunately I wanted to possibly make some money at some time in my career and not work 80 hours every single week. So I kind of fell into an opportunity to do some communications work for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So that's my quote-unquote real job. In my spare time, I still keep my toes in the water in the journalism field by covering Minnesota sports for the Associated Press. I do the Minnesota Wild, the Timberwolves, the Twins, the Gophers, any high school stuff that needs covering. And then also to keep myself occupied, I started blogging on the Packers for Packer Chatters last season. And since then, I've kind of migrated over to Jersey Al's site, and that's where I am right now, mostly for Jersey Al, which kind of reminds me I have to send a note to Larry at Packer Chatters telling him that I am now kind of with Jersey Al. So that's now on my calendar as well. But that's kind of my background, and that's how I ended up where I am.
Very good. Yeah, I love your writing, and it's fantastic, and I'm glad every time I can read it. I saw a tweet a couple weeks ago. You were tweeting from your deer stand, and I'm wearing my blaze orange today. It's the beginning of hunting season here in Wisconsin, so I know you're a hunter. How'd you do? Did you get anything? Tell me about that.
I managed to get a 4-point buck this year, and
you
of
did.
Course,
great.
All the
congrats.
Other guys. Yep. Thank you. And all the other guys in my party, of course, give me crap for tweeting from the deer stand and reading in my deer stand. But to be honest, the biggest deer that I've ever gotten a couple years back, it was freezing cold, high winds, it was raining and snowing, and I was reading a book. And all the other guys were back home because they were cold and they couldn't handle it. But I was toughing it out because my book was so good. I just didn't want to leave the deer stand before I finished my last chapter in my book. And sure enough, right before I finished my last chapter, I looked up and there was a nice 10-point buck walking right by my stand, and I was able to get it. And if I wasn't horsing around reading on the stand, I would have been back home with the rest of the guys getting warm and missing out on my chance for the big 10-pointer.
No, I know how it goes. Back when I used to be a teacher, I used to grade papers out on the deer stand, and I used to be made fun of as well for doing sissy stuff like that when I don't know, I was supposed to be stoic, I guess, and looking for deer,
doing other stuff helps keep you quiet and keeps you still. It works for me.
Exactly. But is it still deer hunting season in Minnesota? I know it begins before Wisconsin, but I don't know much more than that.
No, it's pretty much over here in Minnesota. Muzzleloader starts up in a couple of weeks, maybe.
Gotcha.
But as far as rifle and shotgun, that's all over.
Adam, I have you on here to talk some Packers. We're going to do that eventually.
Oh yeah, but, football.
Yeah, you live in Minnesota, and of course the talk this week, or some of the talk at least, centers around Sidney Rice, and you know he's been on the PUP list and injured, and he says he's ready to play, wants to play, but it's not his decision to make. What's the word in Minnesota about Sidney Rice? Is he going to play this weekend? Is he going to play at all?
Well, the whole thing's been kind of a weird situation because back in the summer, Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals wide receiver who was from Minnesota, he holds workouts at the University of Minnesota campus for various NFL players, and Sidney Rice was at those workouts, but he didn't participate, which earned him the wrath of Chris Carter. Chris Carter kind of ripped Sidney Rice for showing up and not doing anything, and Rice kind of fired back saying, "Well, I'm injured. Leave me alone. Blah blah blah." And the injury never was thought to be serious, but there was always this contract issue hanging over Sidney Rice during the offseason. And when Favre announced he was coming back, a couple of days later, it came out that Sidney Rice needs hip surgery, and it kind of came out of the blue, and no one knew really where it came from. And there's always been some speculation that if he would have got that new contract, maybe he might not have needed the hip surgery. Maybe he would have toughed through it. But either way, I mean, he had the surgery. They thought he could be back by midseason. He's practicing. Brad Childress says that he looks good on the practice field, but he's waiting for Sidney Rice to say that he's ready to play, and Rice isn't doing that. And, of course, there's talk that since the season is almost basically over for the Vikings, that Rice is not going to be willing to risk injuring his hip again for a lost season if he doesn't have a new contract. So that's kind of where that stands. No one knows the official story, but that's kind of the rumblings anyway, that if Rice had his new contract and maybe if the Vikings were doing a little bit better, that he'd be out there.
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know, with them having a losing record right now, being out of the playoff chase. I mean, if they go and beat the Packers for whatever means, I mean, things might change. But yeah, it's hard to risk them, you'd think. We were talking earlier about the Packers using Sam Shields on kick returns, on punt returns. Where do you fall in, along those lines? Should he be used in that role, or should he stick to defense?
I like him on kick returns. I haven't seen him ever on punt returns. I know, Brian, you were at most of training camp, so you've probably seen him more on punt returns. But to me, I like Tremont Williams on punt returns. He seems very sure-handed. He's not explosive. He's, you know, nowhere near like a Devin Hester type, but I'm pretty confident that he's going to catch everything and not turn it over. Whereas on kickoffs, I mean, even if Shields does, you know, muff a kickoff, he still has time to pick it up and fall on it, whereas punts, he really doesn't. And Shields also seems like he needs a little bit of time to really get going as far as his speed. Kickoff seems to give him more of a head start so he can hit that hole and maybe make a cut and do who knows what from there.
Very shortly, we're turning our attention to James Starks, rookie running back, sixth-round draft choice for the Packers this year. And, you know, it's the first time he'll have the opportunity to play this weekend. Who knows if he will? What do you think? Should he play? Is he ready to play? Is he healthy enough to play? What's your opinion there?
Well, personally, I do like Brandon Jackson. I wish McCarthy would give him a few more carries. Maybe he will now that the season is going on and Jackson has proven to be competent. I'm not a big fan of John Kuhn taking toss sweeps. If activating James Starks and giving him a chance to play means no more toss sweeps to John Kuhn, I'm all for it. But nobody's seen Starks play for a year and a half or 2 years now, so no one really knows what he's capable of. Do we want to throw him into a division race late in the season? You know, I'm not sure about that, but at the same time, like I said, I'm getting sick of the toss sweeps to John Kuhn. So if bringing Starks on the field means no more of those, then let's do it.
Very good. Adam, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll let you get back to work. But no, thank you for joining us on Real Bird Central, and take care. And hey, you're doing a tweet up with some other guys from other blogs this weekend. When is that? Where is that? You want to plug that quick?
Yeah, it's going to start at 8 o'clock on Saturday night at Brit's Pub in downtown Minneapolis. Come out if you're in town. Unfortunately, I have to cover the Wild, so I'm not going to get there until about 11, but that means I should have about 5 or 6 beers bought for me from the people that are there already, so that's probably kind of a good deal.
This sounds good. Again, Adam, thank you very much for joining us, and take care.
Thanks, Brian. Love your work on Cheesehead TV, as well as the work of everyone else that pitches in.
Thank you. See you later.
Take care.
Adam Cech of the Associated Press and Jersey Owls, Green Bay Packers blog, among other places. And follow him on Twitter at Adam Cech. And Great to talk to him. Great talking Packers. As Adam just chimed in on James Starks, we're going to turn some attention to him for a moment. In today's Packers Daily Links, three articles down. Third story today is about James Starks, and Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette has a little bit on him. If you follow the link, it'll bring you to the Green Bay Press Gazette. And this would be the article, Green Bay Packers James Starks waits for chance to contribute. And again, just want to share one paragraph here from Mr. Doherty. He writes, quote, Starks, a rookie sixth-round draft pick, is the number four halfback behind Brandon Jackson, John Kuhn, and Dimitri Nance. For Starks to get on the field, he'll have to pass Nance or move up the depth chart because of injury, and even that doesn't mean he'll play much, considering Nance has only had a few snaps from scrimmage in his eight games with the Packers. So, I turn it over to Cheesehead Nation. What does everyone out there think about James Starks? Should he play this weekend? Does he deserve to play? Will he be healthy enough to play? All those questions, feel free to leave your comments on the live blog via Twitter, tweet with the hashtags RailBird or CheeseheadTV, or once again, call into the show. Line is now open, area code 646-797-2909. My take on the situation would be that James Starks, I don't think, is ready to go yet. I think it's his first opportunity to even be active. Of course, just during the bye week, or you know, right after the Dallas Cowboys game, when they had a deadline of, I think, the Wednesday after that game to make the choice on him, whether to cut him or put him on injured reserve or elevate him to the 53-man roster, they decide to elevate James Starks after being on the PUP list for the first 6 weeks of the season and then 3 weeks of practice after that. You know, they waited to the last possible moment. And that's fine. The whole process they handled him, I think, was fine coming off that hamstring injury, coming off that shoulder injury in college. I just don't think this first game, you know, I think you sit him. It's his first time he'll actually be eligible to play. And I think just from even a nerves standpoint, he should be sitting on the sideline, you know, watching a little bit. It gives him one more week to get healthy, one more week to learn the system, learn the offense, learn his responsibilities and special teams. So I don't want to see him play yet. You know, maybe Starks gets his chance eventually. If he just sticks it out, you know, keeps his nose to the grindstone, practices hard, stays healthy, you know, maybe that chance will come. Maybe eventually they'll elevate him ahead of a Dimitri Nance. And, you know, and I say use him sparingly to begin with, a little bit on special teams and maybe just a play or two like Nance does. Maybe not necessarily have to go in motion and be a decoy like Dimitri Nance, but, you know, just get a snap or two a game on offense and progressively ease him in, make him comfortable. And who knows? I mean, you never know. By the end of the season, injuries crop up. Maybe Brandon Jackson has an injury. John Kuhn has an injury. Dimitri Nance, who knows? Maybe he plays a larger role in the end of the year and maybe even into the playoffs. Who knows? I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. Not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen. Opinions are rolling in on the live blog. Aaron Biederman writes, I definitely want to see him play, but I doubt he is healthy enough yet. He can't really do less than Nance, though. And that's a good point. I mean, Dimitri Nance has been with the Packers for 8 weeks. It's interesting. I think we've talked about this on Railbird Central in the past. Dimitri Nance, his very first game, they brought him in after Ryan Grant went down for the season. First game, week two, against the Buffalo Bills, I think Dimitri Nance had 2 carries. Since that point, I don't believe he had gotten a single carry until this past week, the Dallas Cowboys game, when they were absolutely obliterating the Cowboys, what was it, 45-7 or whatever it was at that point. They finally let him in the fourth quarter of the game, and Dimitri Nance got a few more carries. So between those 2 points, he didn't play at all, or at least didn't carry the ball. Just was used to be put in motion or not get the ball on offense. And it was only a handful of snaps at that. So I don't think that, you know, he can't provide any less than Dimitri Nance if you're going to make James Starks active. I mean, again, maybe it doesn't happen this week, you know, in a crucial game that will have implications on the NFC North standings. But maybe going forward, starting next week, you do have him just play, to begin with, the same role that Dimitri Nance plays now. A little bit on special teams, a play or two on offense. And that's the way I see it. Illinois Pack fan writes on the live blog, Starks will not be active unless someone gets hurt. John Rayor jokes, the big question is, can Starks go in motion as well as Nance can? So, Illinois Pack fan thinks he's not going to play unless someone gets hurt. And that could be the case. You know, I'm just giving my opinion. I'm just throwing out my ideas. But yeah, he may very well not play unless somebody gets hurt ahead of him, a Brandon Jackson or whoever. But at least they do have that possibility, have that option available to him, to them now. You know, we got 10 minutes left in the show here, and, you know, it's our first Railbird Central back since the break, since the bye week. Took a little bit of time off, and, you know, I wanted to talk about my trip to LSU a little bit. I know I mentioned it on Packer Transplants here on GZ TV on Tuesday night, and it's not exactly Packers talk, but I think it's a good story for the last couple minutes here. As I've told many people and said on Packer Transplants, you know, every year I take a college football road trip. You know, I like college football. I know not everybody's a fan, but I really enjoy the pageantry of college football. Marching bands, the cheerleaders, the fight songs, the passionate fans, the student sections, you name it. And I like the diversity of play you see in college games. You know, you run the gamut from air it out to grind it out to Georgia Tech's triple option, and the same thing with the service academies, and it really is interesting, and I love the pro game as well. And in fact, Dom Capers has really reeled me into the pro game. I absolutely love what he does on defense, so creative in his blitz packages and schemes, but I digress. Every game, every year, I go to a college football game. This year, I decided to go to Louisiana State University, known as one of the, you know, best tailgate scenes in America. And this past Saturday, granted, they played the University of Louisiana Monroe, a Sun Belt Conference team, and just a team they obliterated. And LSU didn't even play well on Saturday, and they obliterated them. But beside the point, it was amazing to go to New Orleans, fly into New Orleans, go to LSU, and just have an amazing time. I suggest anybody go down there, go to a college football game. The scene is amazing, and just sharing a little bit of story. My wife and I, we just kind of walking around. We had bought a 6-pack of beer, bottles of beer, just to tailgate with, and you know, traveling, we had no bottle opener, and just went up to some random fans in the parking lot. They're tailgating. They have an RV, and asked them, "Do you have a bottle opener?" And in their answer me in their thick, you know, Cajun accent that I can't even attempt to, you know, assimilate. But just get to talking to them. You know, I'm wearing my Wisconsin Badgers gear, and that's a topic of conversation. And, you know, everybody wants to know what the heck you're doing in Louisiana, a Badger fan. They're not playing the Badgers. And, you know, just get to talking. And they're so grateful. And every year this is the case. Every year, everywhere I go, I've been to University of Alabama, Texas, Virginia. Everywhere I go, people are wondering, like, what are you doing? And they're just so gracious that an outsider would come to see their game having no rooting interest. And you know, they offered me food, offered me drink, and it not being a very heavily interested game, you know, playing a small opponent, they actually had, like, extra tickets that were not being used. Somebody's daughter couldn't make the game. Gave my wife and I free tickets. Couldn't believe it. I offered to pay them. they refused, wouldn't take the money. And, you know, just Southern hospitality at its finest. Amazing people. And then later on, we're walking around again through the RV lots, and tailgating in RVs is what they do in the South. It really is a different scene from up north, you know, here in Green Bay, Big Ten country. People don't tailgate out of their RVs, but that is the thing in the SEC and down south. They tailgate out of RVs, and you wouldn't believe how many there are. Not to say there aren't RVs up here, but it's dwarfed. And people are flying flags, and they're flying an LSU flag and then a Wisconsin flag right on top of it. Well, I had to go check that out. What is somebody flying a Wisconsin Badgers flag for way down here in Louisiana? It turns out it was a girl from Wisconsin, got married to a guy from Louisiana, and we're just down there tailgating. The guy is a big LSU fan. And again, just, you know, talking to them. And they took us under their shoulder again and fed us. And unbelievable. They had a crab boil and a shrimp boil. And it was just the best thing you've ever eaten. And it really is just was an amazing experience for us. I've said that several times now. And I just, you know, I've got to talk about it. It's just, I suggest anybody do that. If you've got the time, go to a college football game. You know, by all means, go to a Badgers game. Those are great too. I go to almost every game, but so much fun. And go, you know, while you're at it, go to pro football games as well. It will be amazing this weekend to go into Minnesota. I'm sure there will be a lot of Packer fans. We're going to be posting a link, posting a story on Cheesehead TV later this morning about ticket prices on the secondary market for this game this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. And I think tickets for this game cost something like, I forget the numbers off the top of my head, but something like 26% less than what it would cost at a Lambeau Field game. Really just a stark difference and an opportunity if you live in the Wisconsin, Minnesota area and you're a Packer fan, you know, a rather cheap way to go to a game, relatively cheap at least, and an opportunity to see the Packers and of course a very meaningful game, perhaps Brett Favre's last time he'll be playing the Packers, and who knows, with his injury situation, could be the last time ever he'll play in an NFL game, you know, against the Packers or not. But no, I mean, he's toughed it out, and I expect him to keep playing. I think he would, but he's just been dealing with so many ankle injuries, and you know, he took the helmet to the head a couple weeks ago, and you name it, it's been, his shoulder is bothering him. It's been problems upon problems for Brett Favre. But we're almost at the end of the show here this morning. It's 8:58, and we wrap up here at 9 o'clock. Thanks for everyone joining us this morning. Big game this weekend. Cheer on the Packers. Go Pack, go. Big time implications in the NFC North. A loss here to the Vikings would, they're almost out of it now. It's not totally unheard of that a 3-6 team could make the playoffs, and a win would certainly give them new life. But this is a team that can be kicked while they're down. They've had so many problems, ranging from Favre to Childress to Randy Moss to Sidney Rice to Bernard Berrien to Jared Allen. You name it, the list goes on, to an anemic receiving core and an even more anemic secondary in Minnesota. This is an opportunity for the Packers to make a statement, to get to 7-3, and really get some momentum going into next week's game against the Atlanta Falcons. If they win, if the Packers win this weekend, that would be a 4-game winning streak. And really, that would help, as they have to go on the road to the Georgia Dome next weekend, which will be a huge game against a team with a good record. But no, thanks everyone for joining this morning. Go Pack, go. Cheer on the Packers. We'll see you Sunday here on Cheesehead TV during our live blogs, as we have every week. And those of you hunters out there, good luck this weekend, and we will see you all later.